Let's pray together. Father and our God, we come to you and we thank you. God, we thank you that we can come freely to you and worship you. Even here today, God, we just want to worship you. We want to praise you for being our God and for being our Lord and our Savior. God, we thank you. We cry out to you now and we confess to you, God, that even through this week there have been ways Lord, if there have been any way that we have harmed you, we don't want to do that. And so, God, we pray that we would be a lighthouse to you, that we would be your people united, demonstrating to this suffering world of who you are. God, we pray for one another as you've called us to, and so we think of those, God, who are not well just now. We pray for that you would heal them, that you would, Lord, give them strength and give them your peace. And Lord, we think of Eileen's niece, Amy. And God, we pray for Amy. We pray, God, for healing upon her. And whatever form that is, God, we pray for healing. And we pray, Lord, that you would be very close to her family and to the Canton family as well. God, may they know your strength and your power and your comfort during a very difficult time. And Lord, we pray for Edie and for Selma and Seaver and Nathan and Doug and Connie and Judy and Megan. And God, we lift them to you. And you know each and every situation and you know every need. And so we pray, God, that you would meet the needs of those people. Father, we think that as we look upon this past week, we are feeling wounded, God. But we know that you heal. And so we pray that as we move forward, that we would only move forward in obedience and surrender to you, God. That's all we want. That's all we ask. We thank you that as a church we could be together today. And we thank you that we can pray for one another, that we can encourage one another. And so, God, we pray that even now as we dig into your word, that you would just encourage our hearts, that we would hear from you today, just Lord, what you have to feed us with our eyes open to see you, our ears attentive to what you have to say. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, worship team. It's great. Great to worship God. Well, we've been running with the giants over this past while with the Old Testament saints and leaders, and I want to continue because I know we need to continue. We can't stop running, and amen. I want us to run with a leader this morning who knows all about the benefits of adversity. Now, I hope this morning we'll get great encouragement from a man who scaled mountains and led thousands, even through a tough sea roadblock. This morning we're going to learn from Moses as we journey through the book of Exodus. And we're going to see how God never leaves his people stranded. God never leaves his people stranded. True story. This fellow was saw this lady. She was distraught, and she was weeping beside her car. You've probably seen the image before. And he went over, and he asked her, he said, what's wrong? What? And she said, it's usually me who's crying by the side of the car, not Joan. But anyway, and she said, I'm stranded here. I'm stranded. I just don't know what to do. And so we asked her if she needed some help, and she said, just very angry. She said, I knew I should have replaced the battery in this remote door unlocker thing. I just knew it. Now I can't get into my car. And then she looked at him, and she got an idea. She looked at him, and she pointed to a distant convenience store, and she said, do you think that they'd have a battery to fit this thing? And the fellow said, I really don't know. They might. I mean, I don't know. Do you have an alarm in your car as well? And she said, no, that's just the remote thingy. And she handed him the keys just to observe it, look at it, and And she said, and he took the key in Emmanuel and locked the door. And he replied to her, he said, why don't you drive over there and check about the batteries? It's a long walk. And she was still standing with her mouth wide open as he left. And she thought all the time she was stranded. She never was to begin with. God never leaves his people stranded. Never does. There's so much that I admire about Moses, and so much we can learn from his journey with God and God's leading for his people. And so I want us to learn this morning about living in the faith zone, not the safe zone. And that's a little tough to say. But let us learn what stepping out in faith requires. Stepping out in faith requires, first of all, overcoming the experiences of the past. Overcoming the experiences of the past. Now, Moses' life began he was a basket case. No pun intended. He was literally placed in a basket in the Nile River by his mother in order to save his life. And Moses' life not only began with such risks, but his life was shaped by such risks. And you think of it. He had a burning bush experience with God. He parted the Red Sea. I'd love to have been there. I don't know if he looked much like Charlton Heston, but he did part the Red Sea. And even how he received the Ten Commandments from that mountain. Moses, all the while, felt so inadequate. He felt so unworthy. He felt so ungifted as a leader. He led 2 million constantly complaining people. But there are so many things that Moses could teach you and could teach me. Moses, the man who spoke with God face to face as one who would speak to a friend, definitely shouts, live in the faith zone, not the safe zone. God calls us, the people of the First Baptist Church, to live in the faith zone. This past week, I learned something big. I learned that our God, like I said before, has favor on us. I would not be real if I didn't say I was disappointed and I lamented and I spent time talking to God. And I got to tell you, I asked the same questions that Moses did. Why? Why did you lead us this far, God? Why? And as I look at this this past week, the decision on this property to accomplish what God intended, but I know that we must now progress forward. We're people who must live in the faith zone. We overcome the experiences of the past by moving ahead with renewed excitement, with renewed vision forward. Moses demonstrates continually such dynamic faith and believes God. And look at Exodus chapter 3. Turn to Exodus chapter 3 if you're not already there. And I want you to see this, because this is fun. I love this. I can only imagine this, as we've heard this morning. Look at verse, let's jump to verse 7 of Exodus 3. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, that's not parasites, by the way, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, the greatest moment in Moses' walk with God came at the burning bush. And the decision he made there wrote the next 40 years of his life story. It's a decision that brought daily encounters with the living God. But in the moment of decision, it was not easy to make. And such moments of decision, they're not easy to make. I need to assure you as a people of God that God has not left us. God is still with us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He gives us the strength as we move forward. Moses was born into uncertainty, but after his mother put him into God's hands and he was taken in by Pharaoh's daughter, he lived a life of comfort. He grew up in the safe zone, the palace of the king of Egypt, and he wanted for nothing. Anything he wanted, he could have. We as a church have been well established here. Even the mayor himself Monday evening commented about how much good we've done for the city. And for that, you as a people, you need to applaud the Lord. Because He shone. He's shining. God has given us a presence in this city. He has demonstrated his power and his authority over and over and over again. Amen? He's given us the opportunity to share with those at work that we work with. He's given us front page exposure. He's given us radio spot. We even made the TV. I can't believe that one. But this is all about him. You better believe him. Moses wanted for nothing. Then when he was 40, now boy, that age sounds familiar. When he was 40, he took a risk. He left the safe zone and he tried to do something big on his own for his people. And he killed an Egyptian, defending a fellow Hebrew. What was the result of his own human effort? Pharaoh wanted to kill him for it. And Moses had to flee everything he'd ever known. Now, for the next 40 years of exile in the desert, Moses never forgot his experiences in Egypt. He became like the cat who once sits on a hot stove and is determined never to get on a stove again. Moses felt he learned his lesson. Egypt was not the place for him. It's so easy for us to live in the past. It's so easy for us to hold on to our pain. It's so easy for us to lament and wail and complain. But we need to do what's easy. We need to do what's very easy. And that is to do what is very difficult. See? We need to look beyond the experiences of the past and view onward into the future. If anyone can do this, we can do this. We can. Amen? Stepping out of faith requires overcoming the experiences of the past and overcoming the comforts of the present. Now, I don't know of anybody. I really don't know of anyone who doesn't enjoy excitement in their living. I don't know. Now that term excitement takes on different forms. But I think all of us love exciting moments. We really do, don't we? You know, you're going, wait a minute, I'd love to live a shallow life just once. You know, but no, we do. Nonetheless, sad is the day when a person becomes absolutely satisfied with the life they're living, the thoughts they think, the deeds that they do, when there forever ceases to beat at the door of the soul's desire to do something greater for God. You see, that's what we live for. Our very heart. Our very desire is to do something great for God. The Christian, yours, we're built for this. This is where we discover true fulfillment. That doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road. It doesn't mean that everything will simply fall into place for us. But it does mean that Satan will try his best to defeat the person whose very desires to do something greater for God. The enemy doesn't want anyone to win for God. So we begin to lose the wind out of our sail. That's why I enjoy this quote. Look at this Latin proverb. You're going to love this. Write this one down. If there's no wind, row. Isn't that great? Start rowing. Moses found lots of opportunity to row. You have found many opportunities to row in your own life to continue on. After Moses left Egypt, he spent the next 40 years in the wilderness of Midian tending sheep. He grew accustomed to lifestyle there. It was a great cut. I mean, desert became another safe zone for Moses. Jethro took him in, made him part of his family. Oh, come on in. And then Moses took one of Jethro's daughters as his wife. They had a son. It's a great thing. He had good stuff going for him. And Moses had a secure place in the family business. I mean, Jethro had no sons of his own, only daughters, and Moses became the heir apparent. Why would he want to leave all that? I mean, he forged a new life for himself, and while it wasn't in a palace, he was very comfortable. We can become comfortable with where we are. Things move along at a great pace. We're comfortable in our home. We're comfortable with our family. We don't even want a hint of a change to the status quo, and then something happens. We realize that if we continue to sit so comfortable, we no longer stretch for God. And something truly begins to force us, compels us to think beyond what we can think. It's not easier to simply sit where we're comfortable. You know, that spot on the couch or a favorite chair with the remotes handy, you know. In fact, I had a favorite pair of shoes once. Adidas. I bought them in 1979. And they fit perfectly once I held them together to get them on when I was in grade 12, you know, which was 1982. Met my wife, and it's great, and she... I don't know why, Joan... Wait a minute, I said I met my wife. I mean, I met Joan, and then she later became my wife. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, you're my wife. Joan would... My wife, she would often, this is weird, I would hold the shoes to put them on, and she'd walk in a different direction when I'd have those shoes on. I couldn't understand why. I really could never figure that out. I mean, they were clean, I think. I mean, it was hard to tell because they were so comfortable, the white finish was now brown that was left on there. But my feet, I know they were a dream inside these comfortable shoes. Unfortunately, removing my feet from them was an issue, but it didn't matter. These were my Adidas from grade 10. They fit my feet well, and I enjoyed how comfortable they were. Well, the day came, Joan and I were flying a kite together. Now, wait a minute. You stay with me on this. Don't get any ideas about flying kites. But anyway, if you know kites the way I do, they are wonderful wind machines. They soar, they dip, they move in directions. You're uncertain about the way a kite's going to go. I mean, they go with the wind, but they always stay on course as long as you hold on to that little string, you know? By the way, do you know what a kite is? How many of you know what a kite is? Okay, it goes up in the sky, you hold on to the string. Yeah, good, some of you know. But once you let go of that string, boy, that kite is gone. And it's much like us as people, as individuals. We can be soaring, we can be moving to and fro, we can dip, even move in different directions, but we must always hold on to the string, all right? We must always hold on to him. He's our rock. Well, here I am, I'm flying that kite, I'm running around, holding on, and I mean, literally pieces, of my comfortable shoes are flying in different directions as I'm running. And I even think that a piece actually hit Joan in the eye. I'm not sure about that, but I do know this. Later that day, Joan and I were choosing new shoes for me to wear. I don't even know how that came about, but with tears, I let go of my comfortable shoes, and I think I even stood waving goodbye as they were taken slowly away by the garbage truck. I think even the garbage man even said a little prayer for me. Or that was in my dream or my nightmare, I'm not even sure. It's never easy. It's never easy to let go of what is comfortable to do something greater for God. It's never easy. And Moses knew that full well. He had left Egypt behind forever, and he made a complete transition. Or at least that's what he thought. He thought he made a complete transition. Well, stepping out on faith requires not only just overcoming the experiences of the past or the comforts of the present, but also overcoming the insecurity of the future. When God called Moses through that burning bush and told him to leave his comfortable situation and go back to Egypt to accomplish his life's mission, Moses felt totally unqualified to lead. He was insecure about himself and his future. I always say, now isn't that the greatest way to be? Because then you have to rely completely on him. And as a result, he had many questions, he had many doubts. Look at Exodus chapter 3, and look at verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go? Who am I?" Jump down to verse 13 of Exodus. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And jump down to chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" Over and over and over again, Moses had every excuse in the book. Look at verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I can't talk right, God." Every time that Moses raised an objection to God's call, God answered it thoroughly. But Moses was still afraid. "O Lord," he finally cried. Verse 13. Look at verse 13. Finally cried, "Lord, please send someone else to do this. Send someone else to do it." Have you ever had a question? Anybody here ever had a question or doubt through your journey in life? Have you ever questioned or doubt? Oh, good. Some of you. Have you ever been in a situation where you had no one or nothing else to lean on? Have you ever felt like there just must be someone else better suited to carry this through? Have you ever felt like, God, you must have just abandoned me? See, believe me, your pastor has had those questions many times. And one thing I do know, God always gives the necessary strength to continue. And I knew this past week was a week of remembrance for those who fought valiantly for our freedom. But I did not think it would be a week calling us to remember the ultimate in the process. See, Dr. John Maxwell said, if I forget the ultimate, I'll be enslaved to the immediate. We've got to remember the ultimate. I got a great story. I got to tell you this story. Young woman went to her mom. She told her about her life and how things were so hard for her, and she didn't know how she was going to make it through. She wanted to give up. She was just tired of fighting. She was tired of struggling, and it seemed that one problem would get solved, and then a new one would come up. And it just continued, was always happening for her in her life. Her mother took her to the kitchen, and she filled three pots with water, and in the first pot she placed carrots. The second she placed eggs. And in the last she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word, and in about 20 minutes she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out, she placed them in the bowl, she pulled the eggs out, placed them in a bowl, she ladled the coffee out, placed it in a bowl. And she turned to her daughter and she said, tell me what you see here. Got three bowls. Well, daughter said, carrots, there's eggs, and there's coffee. She brought a little closer, she asked her to feel the carrots. She did. The carrots got soft. Asked her to take the egg, break it, pulled off the shell, she observed a hard-boiled egg. Finally, she asked her to smell and sip the coffee, and the daughter smiled, and she smelt and tasted that rich aroma, and the daughter then said, Mom, hello. What's the point? What are we getting at here? Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. But each of them reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, unrelenting. How after it was subjected to the boiling water and it softened, became weak. The egg had been fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior, but after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. And the ground coffee beans were unique, because after they were in the boiling water, they changed the water. Now, which are you? She asked her daughter. When trials and adversity knock on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee bean? You think of this. Am I the carrot that seems strong, but with pain and adversity, do I wilt and become soft and lose my strength? Am I the egg that starts with a passive heart that changes with the heat? Did I have a fluid spirit, but after death, a breakup, a financial hardship, or some of the trial, have I become hardened? Have I become stiff? Does my shell look the same? But on the inside, am I bitter and tough with a stiff spirit and a hardened heart? Or am I like the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the hot water, the very circumstance that brings the pain. When the water gets hot, it releases the fragrance and the flavor. If you are like the bean, when things are at their worst, you become better and change the situation around you. When the hours are the darkest and the trials are the greatest, do you elevate to another level? How do you handle adversity? Like the carrot? Like the egg? Or like the coffee bean? See, we must always remember who we exist for. We exist for the ultimate, our Lord, our Heavenly Father. We cannot sit and we cannot think about the if-onlys. We must rely on the Master to carry us on such an exciting journey prepared for us. I'd rather try something great and fail than try nothing great and succeed. Let me ask you a question. After Monday evening, And this is just one example in her life of adversity. But did you think there'd be so much discussion about the Lord after Monday night? That was our prayer. You realize that? We've asked God to use us to proclaim Him to this city. And He gave us the opportunity. God has used a very difficult time, just as Moses, to continue to develop and shape the city for Him. That's been our desire all along. God always takes what's meant to harm us and uses it for His good. Amen? Moses cried for someone else to do it. Fortunately for Moses, God wouldn't take no for an answer. And he was afraid, and Moses finally did the one thing that helps when we are uncertain about our future. He leaned on God, the one who knows the future and every detail. And in doing that, Moses agreed to answer God's call, leave his comfort zone, return to Egypt. And as a result, the children of Israel were delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh. What an encouragement. What praise to God. The ultimate is victorious again. Do you see Him? Do you see Jesus? He cries when you cry. He knows pain when we feel pain. He senses our fear when we're afraid. How do I know that? Let me remind you. We just walked through Remembrance Day, and we're gonna celebrate one. Let me remind you. Our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified after being tried and ridiculed. Our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified horribly. They placed Him in a tomb, and they shut the door. Sound familiar? Have a door shut? No? They shut the door. But then listen. Listen. Can you hear it? Listen closely. You can hear a sound. A sound. A rumble. Popping, crackling. Then you see the door is open. And the victory is achieved. That's the God that we serve. The one who takes a closed door and opens it to victory. That's our God. We can never forget Him, but rather, more than ever, focus on Him through adversity. And that's the call to Remembrance Day. It's the call to peace. It's the call to remember those who serve valiantly for the freedom that we enjoy to walk this land, to worship our God. And I'm sure there were those times when soldiers walked and wondered, just like Moses, God, please send someone else to do this. But these troops went and they fought for freedom. Our God continually calls us to battle in this very same way. What's our response? Please, God, send someone else to do this? We're comfortable? We're enjoying the past? Or do we, though afraid, do the only thing that helps us when we're uncertain about our future? Lean on God, who knows our future in every detail. If you don't believe me, ask a veteran. There are many here this morning. They can tell you the battle is never easy, but what freedom in the victory. We're going to close with a wonderful tradition we've established. We're going to pin poppies properly. If you have one, please, while this final song is going to be played, take the time, come and you can take one from the top. Pin this on our cross here at the front. And this serves as a reminder for two reasons. I want you to read. This expresses gratitude to God for those who have so valiantly battled for our freedom to worship. And second, this properly points to the ultimate victory. The greatest battle that ever took place was on a cross for our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to see at the end, this cross is going to be red. Filled with red. And that's the cross. But remember, when you're walking through those moments of adversity, those moments where you say, send someone else, I can't do this anymore. Remember the cross. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the ultimate. Through Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.